Star jump sequence terminates, Captain.
Get the gravitational dampers online and open the blast shield.
Aye, sir.
Bring us in closer.
Aye, aye, sir. Moving us in on sublight drive.
Extreme magnification.
Nice.
The center of the galaxy. And there's our black hole.
The experience of a lifetime, Captain.
Let me put this on audio. You should be able to hear the magnetic resonance.
This is it, ladies and gentlemen. The edge of time and space, where the impossible can happen. Welcome to the event horizon.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, whatever is relevant for the part of the world you are in. Indeed, welcome to the event horizon, where the impossible happens. Join us each week at this time as we delve into the worlds of science fiction, fantasy, and science fact in all their forms. I am your host, Gene Turnbow.
And I am your other host, Susan Fox. And today we celebrate the 5th anniversary of Filkcast, available on sci-fi.radio and wherever fine podcasts are heard. Eric Coleman and Lizzie Crowe, otherwise known together collectively as Cheshire Moon. Welcome to the show.
It is good to be here.
Hello.
It's good to be here.
We're very glad to have you both. You have been a beacon of creativity and surprise on your show, the Filkcast. I learn a lot about Filk and Fanish music every time I listen to the show. It's so much fun.
I am flying by my fingernails an awful lot of the time. I'm just trying to keep up, especially with the older stuff that I missed.
Join the club. I mean, I am so glad that we have your expertise on the station, because, you know,
we get questions, you know, and sometimes we can't answer them, but you can.
Well, it's
we'll certainly try.
A lot of it's research. A lot of it is I'll get a tape or a copy of a tape from someone. It's like, I don't know anything about this. And so you go digging, and there's a lot of Filk resources online. There's a lot of, you know, Fancyclopedia and things like that, that have a lot of information about a lot of Filkers. And there's a page that has just lists and lists and lists of old Filk albums that have the, you know, song titles and who was on it and covers from it and everything else. And so it's been fun going and digging and finding all this stuff, especially now that people are sending me boxes of tapes.
Well, they can't play them anymore. Somebody might as well have them.
And so, you know, my deal with that, and I'm kind of telling people to stop for a moment because I've got like 200 tapes downstairs. but I say, you know, I will make copies of them. I will get you either, you know, discs or MP3s of them. If you're sending me 100 tapes, I probably won't get you discs of all of them. But you know, I've been ripping all this stuff, and my collection went from about 40 Filk albums. That's about what I started with.
You went from zero to Mars.
Yeah. I something that is not that inaccurate. I looked up. I think I have something like over 12,000 files in my working.
Oh my gosh!
Directory. I've got some stuff that I don't play. There's a couple labels that object to their stuff being played, so I don't play that stuff. But in terms of the stuff that I can play, I think there's something like 12,000 songs.
And that's really unusual. Usually artists
want their music out there.
They are desperate to have their music out there.
It's not the artist.
It's the publisher.
Yeah.
Oh, the publisher.
Yeah, and the publisher owns the rights to these particular songs as recorded and published by them. And so because they have the rights and they have not given us permission to play, that's the predicament we're in.
But that's a very long thing to go into and probably show unto itself. And I also don't really know all of the information I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to get some of that dealt with. There's a lot of, particularly the older tapes, that I'd love to be able to dig into those and play some of those songs. And so it is getting worked on, not just by me, but by other people.
And the good news is, The good news is at least you have those tapes digitized now, mm-hmm. so you actually have the music saved.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the problems that we've come across more recently is some of the tapes that we've been given, a couple of them have been dead.
Oof.
And they are things that we really can't get other copies of. So some of the music is getting lost simply because it's on media that is dying.
As in print through or warble or both?
Warble. Really, really bad warble.
Really bad
tape. I can't think of the name of it now, but it's one of the first tapes mm-hmm. ever put out. It was filmed in the very early 80s. And the copy that I have is just unlistenable.
Yeah, the tape was actually older than I am.
And I'm trying to find a better copy of it, but I haven't.
What tape?
Huh?
What was the album?
I would need to look it up. I don't remember at the
okay,
moment.
There is some software called Capstan, which can...
What?
There is some software called Capstan, and I believe I have a copy of it, which can de-warble a tape.
You kind of have to know what the notes were to begin with, though.
Well, you have to find the exact beat frequency of the warble in order to make it work. So it's not easy to use, but it does work. And I've used it to I used it to recover a couple of Leslie Fish recordings, for example.
Oh,
where the only thing I had to go on was a YouTube recording from a warbly tape, and I was able to recover the music that way.
Yeah. Or we just send it to Peter Jackson.
Oh, the stuff that they did with the Beatles? Have you heard about this?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where John
yeah.
Lennon's voice was intermixed with the piano, mm-hmm. and the frequencies were so close that until, I think, the last year ago, they were unable to do anything about extracting John's voice from the piano.
Something in the last 18 months, the technology finally advanced far enough they could separate mm-hmm. the frequencies.
Yeah, and every time they would try to lift John's voice out of the noise, they would pick up the piano too, and they couldn't separate them.
Mm-hmm. I had that happen. I use a program because I get a lot of tapes that are a voice and an instrument.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're not mixed well.
Yeah.
Sometimes the instrument is a little brittle sounding, whatever. And I found a program that does a really nice job. And it's Lele?
Yes.
La La Le.
Interesting. I've never heard of that one.
It's L-A-L-A-L-A-I. And it's been working really well for me. A couple of the songs from the Pegasus shows, I got versions of them that were recorded with an audience, from an audience. And some of it was a little indistinct. And I just went in and pulled out voice and pulled out instruments. And I was able to remix things so you could hear the words better.
Mm-hmm.
And said it to the artist and said, is this okay? And you know, both of them were like, that's so much better now. it's become so much more simple.
Mm-hmm.
That makes my life easier. I've remixed some things from the old tapes that are just... PhilCon 1, somebody sent me all the tapes. I was working with Eli Goldberg,
mm-hmm.
and he sent me this tape that said, mess with it. And it was instruments on one side, voice on the other.
Oof.
That 1960s mix.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I hated it. And so I went through and did, they were also recorded really quietly. And so I did a lot of boosting with it. I did mm-hmm. remixing of it where I would split those out into two tracks so I could bring everything a little closer into the center.
Mm-hmm.
And the mixes that are up on Eli's website are mine.
Yeah. I'll probably have tons of that
That's
stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. He and I have collaborated a lot now and he's been very helpful with, you know.
Well, it's like archaeology, isn't it?
Very much so. And I do want to talk about Merav Hoffman is doing a thing called the Filk Archive,
mm-hmm.
and he is trying to gather everything Filk. The amount of the collection there is just amazing.
It's mind-boggling.
She has all of Harold Stein's old con tapes, things that where he simply set recorders going in the middle of a room and let them run for 3 hours.
Oh wow!
And so you have song circles from a con 30 years ago, And sometimes you don't know who's singing. And so they'll put a lot of the stuff up online. I should have gotten that link, Silk Archive. I know that she's got things. I'm not going to try to multitask and find it now. Maybe we can put it in the notes of the show or something like that. But there are places where you can go and listen to these old song circles and contribute. Say, okay, you know, I was there, and I know who these people are. And that's happened a lot of, you know, people just stepping in and helping them, you know, figure out a lot of this old music.
Identify the songs, identify the players, identify people who were just at those conventions.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful to know that we are preserving our own history that way. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. There's a Silk collection, I think in Bowling Green, where it's become rather massive. There's a lot of the old Silk there.
We may have our hands on some of the LA area stuff. I'm going to have to check. Gene, remind me later to go through and see if we've got some of the stuff from Bill Mills.
Bill Mills, okay. Yeah.
I wonder if any of the author circles were recorded in the LA area. This would have been back decades.
That's less common.
I should think so, but I was just wondering if any of it had been recorded.
Yeah, I haven't heard about, I've been running the station for 14 years and I've never heard of that.
I think we need to consult with Lee and Barry Gold.
Yeah,
who,
probably.
If anybody would have it, they would have it.
If anybody would know. I mean,
if
someone does.
Yeah, exactly. If anybody would have that information, it would be them. So,
and if it's got warbly old tapes, we can work on them.
Yeah, it's not easy to use Capstan. It's a real chore.
Well, if it was easy, everybody could do it.
Yeah, it's rare old software that isn't made anymore either, as far as I know.
I'm not. I am.
It's pre-AI, so.
Okay. Yeah, my tech skills are wide, varied, and sometimes have huge holes.
Well, like all of us, you know.
Yeah.
All of us techies have that same problem.
Well, but if we all work together, if we build the bridge,
and by somebody.
Well, I'm not a techie, really. I know some tricks, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been making music in some sort or another since I was 16, 17.
Mm-hmm. I'm the software QA analyst in the house.
Yeah. So she gets a lot of the questions. We record with Reaper stuff for our band, mm-hmm. and I just handed it over to her, and she's so much better at it than I am. But I know Audacity way better than she does.
Yes.
Just because I've used it so much. But once again, I know a few tricks. I've never gone very deep into it because I really haven't had to, but I know enough to be able to, you know, have everything go out so it's at about the same volume and mm-hmm. and nothing's too jarring. There are moments in the first couple months that are
volume changes
of the podcast that some of it's a little like, what was that?
Yeah, we learned a lot of those tricks too. We use Audacity to record.
Yeah.
A lot of people use Adobe Audition, but we use Audacity
because we're cheap.
Yeah,
you know what?
But
it works.
But like I said,
be careful of the latest upgrade, though. Don't go for the upgrade right now because it has issues. One of which is the standard bit rate is wrong. Yeah. They're working on a hot fix for it, but as of the moment, the standard recording bit rate is wrong, and you have to go back and set it by hand. And then the other problem is if you have a, let me see what version we're running here. We are running.
Welcome to Software Talk on Sci-Fi Radio.
For everyone,
you know, a lot of our audience
radio,
is.
We're doing visual stuff right now.
A lot of our audience is podcasters, you know, and fanish people who want to know how to do this. We're currently running Audacity 2.3.0. Don't go for 2.4 because it has a file compatibility issue. If you try to load a 2.3.0 project file, it will crash. It's got a compatibility issue with itself. So do not upgrade. Wait for the 2.4.1 release.
I've got 3.4.
Oh yeah, the 3.4. I'm sorry. I guess I'm running a very old copy of Audacity. I think it's the 3.4. I guess it's the 3.4 release, the very newest one.
Well, it worked for him. Well,
that has the issues.
It just told me that there's a 3.4.1.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's cool.
Never mind.
Yeah, okay. I've got to update then, because I've got the 3.4.0 on my workstation, and it is crashy boom.
Whereas I've been using it now for a little while. I haven't had any problems with it at all.
Well, but have you tried loading the previous version's Audacity project files with it?
I have no need to.
There you go. Yeah, I do. Yeah, because we have archival copies of a lot of the things that we've recorded. We've done.
Oh, yeah.
This is episode 267. The episode you're on of The Event Horizon is episode 267.
Okay.
So we sometimes go back into our previous interviews and extract clips, you know.
Yeah.
Because we do have repeat guests on the show.
Well, I have.
Troy called, he wants a slip back.
I have MP3s of every show because I upload MP3s. So if I need to go back and hear something, that's a much easier way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm a pack rat. I save master files for everything. I've got probably half a terabyte of Audacity projects.
Well, my process in doing it is that we record, and that is our master file. And then I make a copy of that file, and that's what I edit. And that's what I normalize and mess with and change whatever needs to be changed and cut whatever needs to be cut and keep that original file. So if I mess up, I've got something that I can go back to and I can clean it up with.
Yeah, our stuff tends to be multi-track, so I can't bake it like that.
Yeah, no.
But yeah.
Yeah, but don't break the master file.
No kidding. Yeah. No. Always keep the master clean.
So, you've been doing Filtcast now for 5 years, yeah?
Yes, 5 years. Basically, Tuesday, I looked at my Facebook memories and it said, I think episode 0 is ready to go.
Yeah.
And I uploaded it later that day. So, it was November 8th. November 7th, 2018. And, I didn't know if it was going to fly at all. I thought maybe I'll get a dozen downloads. Maybe I'll get 25. And by the end of the weekend, I had over 100.
That's really good. That's really
good. I'm like, well.
Well, then.
Maybe we will be doing this.
People don't realize that you know, broadcast television or broadcast radio, they talk about numbers in the millions, but you know, you got to remember that those are networks and that's big companies doing it. And when a podcaster gets 100 downloads of an episode within a week, that's really good.
That is what I get first week generally. Right now, this week's podcast is sitting about 70 and it was released yesterday. Or is this? This is Wednesday. It was released today.
Yeah.
And I looked at it earlier, and it was at about 70, which is about right. By about Monday or Tuesday, it'll be about 100. And then people get caught up. I seem to have about 150 dedicated listeners who downloaded within the first month or two.
Well, did you get a bump from OVFF? Maybe? A little?
Downloads happen faster.
What's OVFF?
That peak number hits earlier, but it ends up being about the same numbers that I would get 3 months down the line.
Okay, Ohio Valley Filk Festival is one of the leading filk conventions in the country, and that's where they present the Pegasus Awards.
Oh, okay,
and people we love have been winning those, so we're thrilled.
Yes, and Filkcast has actually become officially part of that process now. Since Eric wanted to, the very first year that we were, well, that was in 2019, we featured the Pegasus nominees on 3 consecutive shows to showcase the different categories. And Steve Mack is like, excuse me, can we do this
every year. And so we are the official radio station of the Pegasus Awards.
That's really neat. That's really
it
neat.
Is.
You know, 3 weeks out, we will do the floating categories. 2 weeks out, we will do the composer and best performer categories. And the week of the con, we will do the best folk song and best classic folk song. And we've been doing that every year now for, well, four years.
And there are a couple people who specifically said they waited to vote until Filtcast came out. And it's like, okay. Well,
and we started a few weeks after OVFF 2018. And I do want to talk about this because it's kind of important remembering some people. I mentioned Harold Stein earlier. Harold, for those of you who didn't know him, was kind of Filk's archivist. He went to all the Filk cons and he had a whole bunch of recorders and he just made thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of tape, you know, of recordings. And he was going to be the listener guest that year and he was too ill to get there and we lost him shortly thereafter.
But on our way home,
we started talking. I went, Filk radio has kind of vanished. There was a Filk radio station, online radio station, that was kind of fading away. It was sort of still there. And I said, maybe we could do a weekly show or every 2 weeks was how we started. And, you know, I did that one and we did another 2 months worth. And I realized that my library will keep us going for about 4 months.
Without repeating.
And then we start repeating artists an awful lot.
Yeah, it's like we were woefully unequipped for that part of it, but that has changed.
No, Filk Radio kind of had problems because Live 365 had problems.
They were having
licensing trouble. And Filk kind of evades a lot of that because a lot of that is not ASCAP, BMI.
It's
almost all indie. But that didn't help Eric Gerds any because his the whole platform was going down.
Yeah. 2016, January of 2016, the laws regarding independent internet radio stations changed so dramatically, and the prices for licensing went up so much that it killed like 85% to 90% of independent internet radio in the United States overnight.
So if you weren't iHeart, you were out of luck, pretty much.
Yeah, we figured a way around it, but
Canada.
Yeah, but a lot of our competitors did not, and they're gone. And Live 365 was one of the major victims of that. By the way, I wanted to comment on that other problem that you were having where you have to get performers' permission to put their music on your show because your show is primarily a podcast, and that's a whole different licensing issue than broadcast radio. Broadcast radio, we don't have to ask because it's all handled by Sound Exchange and BMI and ASCAP and whatever. Or SOCAN. SOCAN licensing covers it all. So the people have the ability to go register with those performance rights organizations and get paid. So, but with podcasts, it's a completely different licensing schema. And licensing is like 5 or 10 times more.
It's one of the reasons why, you know, I play the music that I do. Is that of the very, very few bands that I play that are ASCAP BMI, they're personal friends of mine. I simply call them up and say, you know, and, you know, we don't really play anything that those companies are going to mind about or going to pay any attention to at all, because it's all Creative Commons, if they even thought about doing that. A lot of people just simply put out the tape, and that's it.
Or use common law copyright or whatever, which
Yeah.
Right.
You know, which is great, but you can't go to court with it.
Yeah.
Nope.
And I asked permission on some of the really old stuff.
People are still alive to answer it.
Yeah, oh yeah, and I has Renee Alper, who was a Filker, mm-hmm. and he passed 7 or 8 years ago. And yeah. I got in contact with her brother, and her brother was, please play her stuff.
Aww.
That makes me so happy that people can still hear it, because I found 2 tapes of hers.
Oh, nice.
And they're really good. And it's you know, he was really nice, but I talked with the daughter of another Filker, whose name is escaping me at the moment, and it was the same thing. It's like, yes, please, because my mom, that would make my mom so happy, you know. So if it's something older, if it's something new, everybody knows me. Everyone's like, oh yeah,
are you the Filcast guy?
I just put out a new album. I said, yeah, I know. I just bought it, and I do try to buy everything that I play. Mm-hmm. That's very important to me. I do not monetize the show in any way at all. You know, it costs me my hosting fees and the music that I buy,
mm-hmm.
which I buy anyway.
You were going to buy the music anyway.
Yeah. And so it's I thought about it, and people say, well, you should do this. You should start a Patreon. It's like, no, I don't want to make money off my friends.
I don't
think that's right. What I'm doing is I am advertising them. And, you know, I put links to their Bandcamp pages, their websites. I make sure that if there's a place you can go online to buy a song that I played, it'll be in the notes of the show. And I think that's important for the community,
mm-hmm.
is that it points people, says, you know, go look here because they have all of their music here, and support them.
This isn't about turning a profit. This is about sharing in something that we love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yep. Speaking of albums and people and music that we love, the most recent album we've bought was Bridge.
Oh, yes.
We got, first of all, just as artists, that we were included on that, and that we closed the album.
Yes. But it's credited just to Lizzie, and I was a little curious about that, but... Well, she's the lead singer on it. I guess they were.
Well,
that's
yes,
what they were
but
doing.
It was something that we did together.
I know.
And
I
mean,
I would think so.
It was one of the things that I don't have that kind of performer ego. One of the things that I was joking about is that when she and I first started performing together, I said, "You realize in 5 years or so, I'm going to be Lizzie's. You know, I'm going to be your guitarist."
Well,
mm-hmm.
I was the one who was known. I was performing solo. I was in Toy Boat. Everybody knew me.
Mm-hmm.
And along the line, she realized how true that is, and how right it is that I was able to step back from being the focus of everything, which I was never completely comfortable with, and, you know, make the music for her stories. And so that was important to me. It's so that this was credited to just Lizzie Crowe, and I'm in the credits. I play guitar on the track, but it it's fine.
Yours is a love story that began with music and continues with music.
That would take up the rest of the hour if you get us off on that tangent.
I could actually condense this into about 3 minutes. Here we go. So
be afraid.
it was DuckCon 2009.
I was walking down the hall.
Just walking down the con, singing
the week before DuckCon. It was the Wednesday before DuckCon. S.J. Tucker played a show at Life Force Arts Center in Chicago, which I live due north of. And so I came down to the show, talked to Suge, and Suge was like, "You're coming to DuckCon, right?" And I said, "I am now." I've never been to DuckCon. And I'm like, I looked it up on the internet. It's like, oh. Naperville. Oh, there's a train. Fantastic. I could do this. So I hopped on a train on Saturday morning and I headed to Naperville, and I was actually able to walk from the train station to the hotel.
It was Friday afternoon.
Was it? It was
Friday afternoon, because I met you not too long after I got there on Friday.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did that. Got to the hotel, and the funny thing is that Evan Middleton was also at the Suge show, and he had seen me there. And so Evan's in the lobby. He sees me walk into the hotel, and he's like, "I know you. I bet I know why you're here." And so I'm walking down the hallway with Evan, his wife Elise, and the ever enigmatic Gooch, Mike Couchard. He's a sweetheart. He's so big, he's so intimidating, he's such a teddy bear. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. He really is. So I'm walking down the hall, and all of a sudden, I get introduced to this crazy man in tie-dye. And my first thought was, ooh, he's cute.
And my first thought was, wow, she's cute. And then it was like, okay, I know a lot of cute women. You know, I meet everybody. And we both kind of moved on, and we kept running into each other.
We ran into each other the following WindyCon that year. Mm-hmm. And Tom Smith, I actually asked him after his show, I said, hey, would it be okay if I, you know, sang the end theme from Final Fantasy IX in Circle? And he said, absolutely, yes, do it. And I did. And off to my right...
So Toy Boat was set up with our Song Circle gear, which were little tiny amps, a hand drum that could emulate an entire drum set. So we could do our full sound at the volume of an acoustic guitar.
Yes.
And we were sitting... She was on the riser in back of me.
Yep.
And I hear this amazing voice, this just glorious voice. And I've been working on some music that I was planning on doing on some other project because it didn't fit my solo stuff. Certainly did not fit Toy Boat. And I heard this voice and light bulb went off, you know, and I turned around and went, you and I have to talk.
I thought I offended him.
Oh,
I had never sung in Circle before. I thought I had done something.
I thought it'd be a little intense.
Yeah, just a little bit, my love. Just a little bit. And I literally ran from the room. He had to chase me down the hall. But then he explained this project to me, and I'm like, okay, that sounds fun. And over the next couple of months, we continued talking, and he brought me up on stage the following Capricorns, the following February. And all of this has happened in less than a year. And so in less than a year, he managed to talk me on stage.
Nice.
And so I got up there and I did two songs with him.
One of which was great, one of which was terrible.
He was in the wrong key.
Because he was in the wrong key.
Yeah.
We didn't figure that one out until it's like, I can't hit some of these notes anymore.
That's right, yeah.
Keys happen.
Yep, it's true. And I was shaking before, shaking during, and shaking after. I was absolutely terrified to be on stage. And pictures were taken of the two of us on stage that day. Everyone in the room knew except him.
As I've described particularly one of these photos, she is looking at me in the way that everybody hopes someone will look at them.
Oh.
And it went right past me because I am that geek boy. I am
You were working. Yeah. You were focused on your music. You were doing your thing.
There was no way that this beautiful young woman was going to be interested in this scruffy old geeky punk.
About that. So that happened in February. In August, MuseCon Zero happened. This was in 2010. MuseCon Zero happened, and Saturday evening, he got dinner from PETA Inn, because of course you do, and he was going to take it up to the room and just have supper. And I was like, "Can I join you?" To which he said, "Sure." And the conversation went like this. You don't get it, do you?
I said, get what? And she pulled out the...
I pulled out the poster board and the crayons, and they started drawing pictures. I was like, okay, we're going to make this simple.
And about a month later, we met up at the Strollers.
Yep, in St. Louis.
And I had been... Another friend of mine was going to be the lyricist for Cheshire Moon. She's a very interesting poet, and it became too much for her. She kind of vanished. But I've been reading a bunch of her prose.
Because I had all of my my poetry and my stories and my fanfic on a what used to be a GeoCities site. That I moved because, oh God, it died. Although, you can now, there is a place where all of that's been archived. You can actually go find it again. It's funny.
No, but anyway, I knew who the storyteller was for the band. And in Strollers, in September of that year, we wrote our first song, which is still one of our best songs. And we went into the weekend thinking this will be nice. Probably won't last. You know, we will have a good time together. We'll part well. You know, we'll still make some music together. And we came out of the weekend going,
oh, we are in so much trouble.
Oh, we're in trouble.
What are we going to do with this?
And 7 months later, she moved to Iowa.
And the rest is history.
So that is the quick in a nutcase, in a nutshell.
Mine is running out of slips, people. Yeah, only has a few.
Well, who wouldn't fall in love with that voice?
It'll be great.
So, but anyway, that's us. We were talking about Philip Cows.
We were.
We digress. If you let us digress, we will.
It's true.
That is one of the great truths is that if you give us a chance, we will go off on tangents and maybe never ever come back again.
Well, I was talking about the album Bridge. Where did that get started?
Kathy Marr had this idea, I want to think 10, 15 years ago, and she wanted to do a song, an album about things that bring us together. And she wanted to bring in a bunch of her friends to bring in their songs. But, you know, and she wanted that kindness and positivity and togetherness that Kathy, you know, is so important to her. And she wanted to do an album like that. And so she talked to Jeff Bonhoff, who, of course, you know, he's like, well, you know, I have a studio and I have the ability to do all these things, because he did most of the backing tracks for it. And so she asked the community for songs.
And a whole bunch of people answered the call.
They sure did.
And there are apparently still some out there that didn't make this album. So there may be something else.
There may be a second Bridge album. Who knows?
But yeah, so it's I sat down. It is very rare because I get so much Philk and so much music from this community. It's very rare that I have the time to listen to something all the way through. And I put that on. I ripped it because I got a copy early because we were on it. And I ripped it and I listened to it straight through.
It was so funny. I was actually in the office that day and he was home. He was working from home. I walk in, two songs from the end of the album, and I'm like, I recognize those voices. Is that what I think it is? Mm-hmm. It is.
So yeah, and it's just a marvelous idea. It's one of those things that she wanted to make sure happened, and it did, and it's out in the world now.
And it happened beautifully.
Yeah, it's an amazing album. It's absolutely gorgeous.
And we did not know that we were closing the album.
Mm. Oh my.
Until he posted the final track list.
Until he posted the final track list online, and it's like,
well, who wants to follow that act? My gosh.
And we have this song that we've got two albums that are basically written that need rewriting. And they're both concept albums.
Oh, good.
And so that song didn't fit either one of these next, which means it would be probably 5 years before that song's going to end up on an album. And we love the song. It was like, oh, now it has a home. And it's a perfect place for it. It fits so nicely in that world.
It was my "I miss everybody, please pandemic be over soon" song.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yes, yeah. I
oh god, yeah. We got cabin fever, something fierce, and to a certain degree, we never actually recovered from that. We changed our lifestyle so that we didn't travel as much and stayed hunkered down. And
LostCon is like my one convention a year, pretty much, although, you know, that could change.
Yeah, I only do two conventions a year, usually LostCon and WonderCon. And it's only because I'm speaking at both. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't go.
We do the two local cons. There's one in town that's a 2-mile drive for us, and there's one in Cedar Rapids, which is about an hour and a half, 2-hour drive for us, and that's all we've done the last 2 years. And it's probably all we're hoping on making it to Philk Ontario, because there's a Philker coming from Israel who we really want to meet, but we also wanted to go to OVFF because there was a Philker from Australia who we really wanted to meet, and we ended up not being able to manage that. But financially, you know, we're a little beat up right now just because and medical stuff, and it's not a lot. I mean, we're not in danger. We're not going to lose our house. We're not going to do anything else. But it means that the money we would spend going to a con, you know, is now
budgeted
paying off
elsewhere
until next spring.
Yeah, earmarked for something else.
Well,
yeah.
this is. Well, that's something that the pandemic was good for. Was we've created a lot more online opportunities to interact.
Yes.
Oh yeah, Sci-Fi Radio, Sci-Fi.Radio experienced a renaissance in our listener base.
But also, we've got the Discord, and people can talk to each other. And
So the communication goes both ways. Most radio stations are like a one-way trip. You know, a lot of podcasts are like that, too.
We were doing every other week, and suddenly I'm home full-time, and she's home full-time. Like, let's go weekly, because there was so much stuff going on. Mm-hmm. We couldn't keep up with the news, because there was stuff going on there for about a year and a half. Every weekend there was a folk event online, and
no VFF,
like no VFF, FK no,
Blind Lemming and his
Festival of the Living Rooms.
Festival of the Living Rooms. Dun dun dun.
And we're gonna play that in
That's
December.
Great.
We're looking forward to getting back online. We haven't played online in a couple years now because I kind of burned out on it.
Mm. It's a lot of work.
I wasn't going to do it again.
It's a lot of work.
I sat in on some of those. They were great.
Well, it's because you don't get the interaction.
Right.
And I found it really frustrating playing what I refer to as playing for the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
That's what I call playing on Zoom, playing for the Brady Bunch. And it got really hard for me, and I quit playing guitar for about a year and a half.
You got better, and you've got new projects, and you've got year six of PhilCast, and you've got everything happening.
I am playing more. My hands are able to play again. They weren't there for a while. It was a little scary for a while because I had a trigger finger really badly in my fretting hand.
Oh no!
And that's gone. Now I just need to get the calluses and the muscles back.
Lizzie, you please kiss them better.
Oh, yes.
She takes care of me. She's good at that. But anyway, PhilCast. This is a very typical interview with us. In that we're supposed to come in and talk about something. And
we end up talking about everything.
Awesome. You know, it's a slice. You know, it's a living room. It's like sitting down in the living room with good friends.
Well, we did. Piers Colley is a British folk singer, and he's in the folk community. We covered one of his songs for one of our EPs, and he's a dear friend. And he was doing a thing every Friday afternoon. Well, every Friday evening there, Friday afternoon for us, because he's in England. And we did a 2-hour show with him, where I think between the two of us, I think we played 6 songs.
Yep. The rest of the time, we were just sitting and chatting, and it was lovely.
And just having a grand time.
And he actually was able to help me improve a bread recipe.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because I'm lamenting the fact that I don't bake bread well, and he's like, well, what are you doing?
He's a masterful bread baker.
He's an amazing baker.
Yeah.
He's like,
but anyway,
no, by the way,
Welcome to Recipe Talk on Sci-Fi Radio.
By the way, while we were talking, I looked up your ratings on the Sci-Fi Radio ratings report.
I haven't looked at those in a while.
And you're pulling an extra 500 listeners a month. From the radio broadcast.
The expression on his face right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're getting an average of about an extra 500 listeners a month because people are tuning in to hear your show on sci-fi.radio.
Wow, that is like...
Wow.
That's about as much as I pull a month from the online stuff. It's just about, because in the end, I end up, if you figure 4 weeks, I end up about 150 each, so 600 listeners. So I'm doubling.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, your listener. Yeah. So you got about double the listeners you think you do.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on Sci-Fi Radio.
Well, yeah.
And now listen.
You and I had talked about it, about getting me on to do a Sunday night show, and it just, I didn't have the energy for it.
Right.
And this ended up working out perfectly, because we talk about sci-fi.radio at the beginning and the end, and say, hey, you know,
appreciate that.
Oh yeah.
And honestly, interesting thing about PhilCast is, it was Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, 2019, when my mother was visiting us, and it was when we were still doing PhilCast every other week, and I believe we had to skip a week because Eric was in the hospital.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's a good reason.
She took over because I was having lung problems, and I came out and I was still having life. I was better. I was going to live, It was doubtful going in because my O2 levels were at 72%.
Oh, that's not good.
Which is not good.
That's not good.
How are you conscious? I have no idea. but so she took over, and that's why the first year I did entirely on my own. And so she kind of took over doing all the voice work for a while. I still did most of the programming.
He still picked the shows. Occasionally I picked the shows, but he still did all of the engineering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I filled in on the voice work, and then we realized we could do this together if we wanted to. And I started doing the news because it's a big, long, rambling thing, and I can do that.
She's really good at it. She's much better
at it. He's like, you need me to read copy? I can read
copy. And then earlier this year, I kind of burned out. And it's like, no, I want to make sure that it keeps going, but I need to back off a little bit. And I did the same thing. I wasn't having anything to do with any of the recording at all. I wasn't engineering it a lot of the times. But I was programming it. I was picking songs. I was doing the script for it and everything. And when I came out of that, realized that, hey, you know, people got used to hearing Lizzie. So why don't we start doing this? And so earlier this year, we started doing it.
Middle of last year,
we started doing it as a team, and it's been much more fun. You'll see a kitty head. And people listening can't, but they can see that we have interference here now from
everybody at once.
My dog has decided that my hand is absolutely delicious and has been licking it.
But your dog is so sweet.
But you are delicious.
Helvetica gets onto the show regularly.
He does.
You will hear him frequently off in the background. Complaining about the world.
And we will actually, if we can hear him, we don't cut him from the show on purpose. It's like, no, this is our lives. This is who we are.
But yeah, it started as something I kind of did on my own, and like everything in our life, it ended up being both of us.
That's awesome.
And that's part of what makes it fun is...
Well, enjoy it. We do enjoy PhilCast every Wednesday here on sci-fi.radio. Eric Coleman, Lizzie Crowe, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
We do that.
You have been listening to episode 267 of Sci-Fi.Radio's production of The Event Horizon for November 11th, 2023. Our guests this evening have been Eric Coleman and Lizzie Crowe of PhilCast, the show on, you guessed it, Philk Music, here on Sci-Fi.Radio and, of course, a podcast wherever fine podcasts are published. PhilCast is the de facto radio program of the Philk community and the Ohio Valley Philk Fest, home of the Pegasus Awards for Philk Music. The show will air again tomorrow, November 12th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and again on the following Thursday and Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Eastern. After all of the airtimes have passed, you will find this episode and others on iTunes, Pandora, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and on our own website at sci-fi.radio. If you enjoyed the programming you have just heard, please consider visiting patreon.com/sci-fi-radio and becoming a patron of the station. We are almost entirely listener-supported, and your contributions go to paying our DJs, our production team, writers, business operation fees, in addition... If you enjoyed the programming you have just heard, please consider visiting patreon.com/sci-fi-radio and becoming a patron of the station. We are listener-supported sci-fi and fantasy fandom radio, and your contributions go to paying our DJs, our production team, the writers for our Geek News website, our business operation fees, our music licensing, and they help us procure and maintain the equipment and other resources we need to stay on the air. We have been broadcasting continuously since 2009, and we are grateful for the support of listeners just like you. That URL again is patreon.com/sci-fi-radio. The Event Horizon on sci-fi.radio. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.